Ghost of the Fox by Felix Meyerhofer. Part 1, Nonfiction. Chapter 1, The Fox. "Children, I have an exciting story to tell you," exclaimed Miss Reeder to her attentive class. "You've enjoyed the stories about Lincoln, but there's another great president whose birthday falls in February. Do you know who it is?" A flurry of hands flew into the air as they blurted out in one voice, "George Washington!" "I was sure you'd know that. But he was given another name by the British generals during the Revolutionary War in 1776. As the commander of the Continental Army, Washington won very few battles, but was widely respected as the master of retreat and became known as the Fox. These retreats fooled the German Hessians, who had been hired by the British to fight for them. They let their guard down, causing them a great defeat in Trenton, New Jersey on December 26th, the day after Christmas. This battle was planned in this very area where we live. For almost 2 months prior to Christmas, Washington had been retreating always one step ahead of the British, from New York to Pennsylvania. The British thought he would lay low for the winter after he'd again slipped through their fingers. Washington was not only short on supplies, but his troops had signed up for 1 year and their enlistment was up on January 1st. The British were confident he would no longer have an army to wage war. But they had once again underestimated the Fox. Washington generals advised him that if the revolution were to survive, his ragtag army would need a victory. He convinced 3,000 of his troops to remain 6 weeks longer for $10 apiece. Since Washington planned to attack the small community of Trenton, New Jersey, he needed to retain as many men as possible. Townspeople from Trenton had reported that the Hessians were going to celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, and the defenses would be weak. It was a terribly cold night as 2,400 troops started across from the Pennsylvania side of the Delaware River in Bucks County. A northeast wind blew viciously against their faces, with snow, slashing rain, and hail. Many of the men were barefoot, their feet tied in bloodied rags, but not a man complained. 60-foot fishing boats called Durhams pulled from shore into the darkened night, filled with shivering men and carrying General Knox's 18 cannons and horses. Large ice slabs crashed into the sides of the crafts, but were pushed off before they could rip the boats apart. Former sailors, now soldiers, whose hands were raw from cold, were manning the oars. Two other American units, comprised of 2,300 men, were part of the strategy to attack from the south of Trenton, but were unable to cross the river. Washington was going to attack Trenton with only half his army. By 4 a.m, Washington's group reached the shore 9 miles north of Trenton. At pre-dawn, they marched south in two columns, one along the river, the other along the Pennington Road led by General Sullivan. General Greene was in command of the River Route Group, with Washington riding alongside, commanding the entire operation. It was so cold, two men froze to death during the march. Washington received word that his men's muskets wouldn't fire due to being exposed to the storm all night. Washington sent word back with the order, "Rely on the bayonet. I am resolved to take Trenton." Chapter 2, Attack. As they approached, the small community lay quiet under the storm with few men on guard. Colonel Raw, commander of the Hessians, was asleep. Sometime after 7 a.m., nearby Hessians saw the rebels in open fire. The sentries cried out, "The enemy! On your feet!" The Battle of Trenton had begun. Moving quickly, both American columns moved in. The Hessians were caught completely by surprise. Colonel Rawl, who had celebrated too much the previous night, was slow to awaken and dress. It was too late. There were sounds of loud voices and fighting down by the river and along the Pennington Road, where General Sullivan had kept pace with Washington and Greene. General Knox's cannon had begun to fire. General Mercer's men, as ordered, went in courageously with bayonets. The Hessian officers tried to rally and form their troops, but Washington and his men were too fast for them, seeming to be everywhere. The American units constantly disrupted the Hessians, charging in, then moving to cover all routes of escape in or out of town. American cannon were placed on a rise that controlled the two main streets of the town, and the Hessian formations were unable to form properly. They tried to get some of their own cannon into action, but these were captured before they could do any damage. The Hessians moved around town trying to make a front, but some orders were misunderstood, and a very important regiment was separated from the Colonel Rohl and von Lausberg regiments. These two regiments were forced out of town and regrouped in an apple orchard. Rohl ordered them to attack back into town, trying to open a hole on the road to Princeton. Like the Americans, the Hessians' guns were wet from the storm and had a hard time firing. When they again ran into the streets of the town, some civilians from the town joined the American troops with their guns now dry. Both groups fired at the Hessians from buildings and from behind trees and fences, causing great confusion. At the same time, American cannon broke up their formations. Colonel Rohl, still dazed from his holiday celebrations, raged up and down the main street bravely trying to rally his men. He then went down, mortally wounded, and resistance faltered. The remnants of the garrison retreated back to an orchard, but were soon surrounded by Washington's men. The Hessians surrendered to Washington, and the event became known as the Battle of Trenton.